This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Chris Harden joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Let's We All Gotta Go Sometime by Joe Louis Hill. One of the first recordings for Sun Records,
so
pre-Elvis era, in honor, of course, of the last week of the show.
You did, when you did Vernon's show, did you do it every week? What was your, like, you?
I did it once a week, but for a full hour.
So you did once a week for a full hour?
Yeah, and we would do, like, generally speaking, sometimes it would vary. We'd do the first half or so of Basketball Talk. And then I did the movie segment, which included the John Roser movie song, which has lived on in popularity amongst John Roser crooning movies. And I would recommend five movies. This is back when people were still renting movies and stuff.
Yeah.
I would recommend five movies to rent or watch at home based on some topical topic every week.
Was that so? Vernon was at 56 before he came here. Was that at 56 or was that here? Do you remember?
I think it transitioned.
It transitioned.
Yeah.
You did it both places.
Yeah, I mean, I get confused about both the station transition and the physical transition, because initially he was above Alfred's there on Bill Street, and that's, you know, that studio.
Yeah, that was that for 56? Was that that's when we were on this other. That's when the 7:30. That's when Gary and I did the 7:30 thing. It didn't matter. You're just talking.
Yeah,
or you're showing up and talking.
Yeah, right.
So and then. When did you stop doing Vernon? When you did? When you started doing that? When he went to Grind City?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always fun. I was a regular listener before I had you on, so that was always fun. One of the great things is that I don't know what your radio future is, but people can always listen to you and Drew Hill on the podcast.
Sure. I had somebody text me and say, when are you making your radio announcement? I'm like, I couldn't tell whether the person was joking or serious. I really had no idea. If you're listening, sorry, pal. I didn't know whether you were joking or serious. I said, I have no announcement. I don't
no
know.
No announcement. No, no, but in the comments yesterday, people were, well, honestly, they're worried about Fishman's mental health because he seems to really like count on his segments, getting every word in. So they're wondering what he will do. And then the other thing is, where the hell is Chris going to go? Because I do know a lot of people who, and I appreciate anyone who listens to the show for any reason, but I do know there's a number of people who just listen to this segment. So anyway, I appreciate that you're pitching in all of this for all of this time. All right. The Memphis Grizzlies had an unsuccessful trip to Los Angeles, I would say.
Yep.
And I guess the worst part is the Cedric Howard injury, although probably not. But he was already hurt.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, we always await the Grizzlies, right. You know, injury update or whatever.
It's part of the fun of this.
So he had missed, I think he'd missed one game, maybe two games. He'd been on the injury list a couple times with left heel soreness. And that had been something I think they had been managing for a while. You know, players have things you manage. That sort of comes right. with the territory. But they'd been managing left heel soreness for him. And when he landed, his left foot is where he landed.
Same foot.
And Pete Pranick on the broadcast was calling it an ankle injury. And I was going back looking at the video. I'm like, I actually sort of hope that's an ankle injury and not, you know.
Right.
You know, once upon a time, Marc Gasol was on the injured list with foot soreness, and then he broke his foot that game, right? So, like, these things happen. So I was a little concerned when he landed on the foot where he had already been on the injured list. But doubtful with ankle is what they called it, and that was probably, all things considered, both the doubtful and the ankle, probably right. a pretty good outcome. So we'll see where that goes. I mean, Cedric Howard, it's really unclear what the Grizzlies are playing for this season and what they should be playing for this season, and that's, I think, a conversation that will continue to emerge in the weeks ahead. But Cedric Howard is not about this season. Cedric Howard is about, you hope, the next 15 years, right? And so they'll be careful with that. I thought he was absolutely fantastic in the first half of that game. And that was after being absolutely fantastic in the whole game against the Sixers. And so, you know, he had the lackluster game in between with the Lakers, right. which, you're a rookie, that's going to happen. First time you play against LeBron, or maybe the second time, I have to go back and look.
Second time.
First time in Los Angeles on the road against LeBron. But Cedric, he had 16 points and it ended up being 8 rebounds because they docked him one. 16 points, 8 rebounds in 12 and a half minutes, and the Grizzlies were plus 13 in those minutes. And it's not just the box score. If you go back and look at it, and I'm writing a little bit about this in a column I'm trying to finish today, but, you know, he had 6 baskets, 6-9 shooting. And it's literally 2 dunks, 2 mid-range pull-ups, 2 3-pointers, 3 level scoring, like in duplicate all the way through. And you combine that sort of 3-level scoring with the just voracious rebounding. It's, you know, it's the same thing we saw in 48 minutes against Philly, or I guess 50, whatever. We saw the whole game against Philly. That is the star potential. Nothing's guaranteed, but this idea that Islo talked about in training camp, like, you know, he's so good in so many ways. We've been talking about what kind of good is he going to be.
Right.
It's not 3-and-D good. That is not this
the
guy.
Ceiling.
The ceiling is all-star. The ceiling is two-way all-star. That hard dribble, easy pull-up, mid-range jumper, that is go-to scorer. That's a go-to scorer right. shot. That is the – this is the guy we're going to when we need a bucket. That's that kind of shot.
Well, it's really – it's fascinating because – well, there's nothing quite so fun as a young player – showing his promise, like as a fan and whatever. So seeing this emerge, a draft pick that people are excited about, as good or better than one could have hoped in the even the exuberant wake of the of that pick. But you then have him injected into what is such an uncertain franchise where we don't know if their best player is really good enough to be their best player or will be here to be their best player. And if their second player is good enough to be their second best player or will be here to be their second best player. We
talked about it coming out of the summer and after Zach Kleiman and talked to me today. It's like there's sort of this fork in the road. You got to pick one of the two. There's really a three-way fork.
Right.
Are they retooling around John Jaren, which is what they talked about when they made the Desmond Bane trade? Are they transitioning the roster, not necessarily around Jaren, but still with Jaren, right? But not with Ja. Or are they just, we're going to move cold into, not cold, because you have Zach Giddy and Cedric Howard. We're going to move fully into a new era, right? It's really now a three-way decision they have to make at some point. I don't think they necessarily make it at the trade deadline this year. Maybe it's this summer. But at some point, you got to commit to one of those three paths. And it's not clear what it should be.
Right now, I mean, you point out, what are they playing for? What should they be playing for? I don't know that they should even know it yet. I mean, that's another fork in the road. Like, are they playing to get up to 8? Are they playing to...
Well, they're in this unsatisfying zone where are you trying to get to a first-round playoff exit, or are you trying to get to, like, the 10th pick in the draft, right? It's kind of like it's hard to see the great outcomes on the two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? So you're sort of somewhere in that middle. So do you value more getting into postseason basketball, or do you value more a very slim chance to jump up in the draft?
It's funny, though. I'll say this.
You know, if Dallas had that slim chance and they jumped up.
Yes. If they do get into the play-in and then get into the playoffs out of the play-in this year, you're like, well, Mom, we just did this. It will be more satisfying this year than last year. Last year, they collapsed into that spot.
Right.
And no one gave them any chance to do anything. This year, they would presumably, they've got to hold off the Clippers. They might ascend into that spot, right? And I don't know. I feel like a healthy Grizzly team, even against.
I feel like the potential upside of competitiveness with this roster
is better.
Is more tangible at this point than the theoretical we're going to get lucky in the lottery. Yes. And so I'm still at the stage of, which I've been at from the beginning, I could move off of it, but I'm still personally in the, like, you know, hang around and get healthy, you know, mind frame.
Here's the thing, though, is that so maybe they don't know, and I think, obviously, the results, this next stretch is really tough, and then they go to Europe.
I think
and then
four of the next five are against teams with winning records.
Right, yeah. And they don't beat teams with they don't beat teams with winning records. And then they go to Europe and whatever. The events could dictate which way they go, right?
Five in the next six, actually, yeah.
The events could dictate which way they go. Like, if you look up the standard. Does it all, though? Do you think the fact that there's so much uncertainty, as you've pointed out, we've not ever seen this team together and healthy, does it make it less likely that they will make anything at the trade deadline? Because, they don't even know what they're dealing with.
I think, the trade deadline's going to be tricky, and I'll write more about that in the weeks ahead, or a little bit about the Ja thing last week. The Ja thing alone is tricky because,
this is what we saw.
Even if you decide, okay, we want to move on, and I'm not saying they have, but even if they did, how do you do that, right? The reasons you might want to move on are the reasons he may not have any trade value.
Right.
So how do you, if you're looking for an exit strategy, how do you find one? First, you have to decide, are you looking for an exit strategy?
Right.
And even if you are, how do you find it? So that's tricky. The other stuff around the team is tricky in multiple ways. There's part of that is what route are we taking, and how does that dictate what we do at the deadline? The other thing from a much more direct nuts and bolts perspective is they're going to have two first-round picks. They may not be as good as you'd hope, but they're going to have two first-round picks, and they have the Pacers' second-round pick, which right now would be pick number 31. That's three picks. Everyone on the roster, if you factor in likely player option, which is Kavis Caldwell-Pope, and likely team option, which is Gigi Jackson and probably still Vince Williams, given how small the number is, but maybe not because of the injury. But if you just factor in those – they got one open roster spot, and that's Jock Landale, who they might want to bring back. And what do you? And so I could see them at the minimum doing some look ahead. Let's start our summer work now and try to clear up some stuff. And because we don't want to be in a position where we're going to have to cut three guys in training camp, you know. So what are we doing?
So what would that conceivably kind of look like?
It could be, making decisions among some players. I mean, I don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sort of reluctant in some ways. Ty Jerome's never played a game for the Grizzlies.
Right.
But with Cam Spencer and with Javon Small and with Scottie Pippen and do you look around and say, okay, what could we trade him at the deadline? If he's healthy, and you just clear a roster spot that way. I mean, I don't think they would incentivize Conchar, but there's something with that. I mean, do you look to actually use a first-round pick with some contract stuff and add a player for your rotation next season? If it's you're sending out two contracts and a draft pick for a player who's under contract next year, and it sounds like a buy move, but really it's a buy for next season move. There's all kinds of different stuff you could do.
Jaws weekend was, that's the problem, right?
So the weekend Ja, this is one of my sub things in the column I'm writing. Your weekend Ja, right? He's back, and we're sort of, the trade deadline's coming up, and we're sort of monitoring what it is. And it's one really good game, at least on offense, against Philly. Awesome game on offense against Philly. One lackluster game, the stat line looks okay, 16, 70 points, 11 assists. But, didn't really seem like he was totally into the game. And you got, guess what? You got drilled when he was on the floor on Friday against the Lakers. The defense is not good. And so, good game, lackluster game, absent game, right? That's kind of the mix, right? The good, the lackluster, and the absent. And the lackluster and absent combo is greater than the good. And that's been the story for 3 years. That's been the story for 3 years. You got your good games, your lackluster games, and your absent games. And to feel good about Morant going forward, you need the good games to outnumber the combination of the lackluster and absent. And it's been the other way. And so, I mean, it could change, but like it hasn't.
A deal for Ja would, you'd be taking someone's problem back, presumably, right? Isn't that the?
I mean, I could envision various things. None of them are like the Desmond Bain trade, right?
Right, right.
There are a couple teams out there who I think could be real focused on right now and have a real need for a lead guard and talk themselves. You're still not. You're talking about neutral value.
Well, here's
more
my,
than
here's
positive
my question.
Value,
I
really.
Wonder if Ja, and I, again, I don't – take the T-Wolves. They got a problem at point guard, right? And
right.
So you wonder if Ja –
I got two teams in mind. One of them has been talked about, and that's the one that's been talked about. There's another one that's in my head. We're not going to get to it.
But okay, on the T-Wolves, what I wonder with Ja is if he went, sometimes he just doesn't care. Like he's just mailing it in or he's disengaged or whatever else, right? So, and then if he could go to a team.
You talk yourself into the motivation.
Where he is, motivated, and he doesn't have to be that guy all the time because you've got – could you in fact see a much better Ja?
It's possible, yes. I mean, but you still – I mean, how much of the durability stuff is that, right?
Right.
Like I don't – the game Sunday is interesting. I don't know what – you know, that's the kind of thing where I think a lot of people look at that and say the Grizzlies are just being super cautious. Maybe. Well, maybe that was Ja. I mean, he was questionable on the injured list with a calf contusion, right? Not a strain, not soreness, a contusion. That's an outside, bruise. It's a different kind of thing. It's a less concerning thing than a strain. He's on the injury list as questionable with a calf contusion. He is not downgraded during the day at all. He's still questionable right up to, you know, presumably what happened is he went through his pregame shoot around and then a decision was made. I don't know whether that was the Grizzlies saying, let's be careful with this, or that was Ja saying, I don't feel like I can go. I don't know. It could be either one. So is that a thing where does the motivation change his availability? Maybe, maybe not. Right. I don't know. But I think the durability question, I don't know. I don't think that vanishes just because he is different, a different motivation. And I don't.
The shooting doesn't get better. But
that's right.
The defense maybe gets marginally with motivation.
Yes.
But it doesn't become demerits.
Yes. And so there's all that.
What would the money look like with Minnesota?
Well, I mean, they are a team that is deep into tax stuff, so you've got to match within reason. I've seen different constructions thrown out there. The one that you hear the most would be like a Naz Reid, Dante DiVincenzo, Mike Conley for Ja and something else. Probably not much in the way of draft stuff coming back. I don't know if Minnesota would want to do that or Memphis would, but that's the construction you hear. And like Naz Reid's a good player, but he's a good player who's like on a long contract that's probably going to be an overpay.
Right. It's fascinating. KCP was good. He was certainly good Friday. Like he was sensational. The bench was sensational Friday.
He's been good. It's the kind of thing with him where I think early in the season, it was totally reasonable to wonder if like, okay, is this guy just kind of done? I know he's only 32, but he's played more than 900 regular season games, deep playoffs. You know, you could hope he just had a shooting slump in the 1 year in Orlando, but it was environmental. He'll bounce back. And then beginning of the season, he was bad. And particularly the lineup was bad because you had him out there in a lineup with Jalen Wells and Jock Landale, and they're just – the lack of athleticism, and the Grizzlies continue to have a lot of these lineups, the lack of athleticism was really palpable, and they made the right call to move him out and move Coward in and inject more athleticism into that lineup. But over the past month, he shouldn't, you know, October, November, he was shooting under 35% from three. December now into January, he's shooting over 40%, which is more his norm. I think he's not the greatest athlete at this point, but he's been active. And he's really done a good job of filling in some of the ball handling, playmaking needs that they've had. And he's been good.
Laravia and Marcus Smart certainly hit big shots, against them.
Yeah.
What was the mistake with Jake Laravia?
Well, they felt like they felt like they did not have the room, both in the cap going forward and in just
in terms of numbers, wings.
Yeah, in terms of playing time and emphasis to rightly or wrongly, they felt like they couldn't really keep and commit to both him, Gigi Jackson, and Vince Williams all, and they made the decision to focus on Vince and Gigi and to decline the option on Laravia. Nobody really questioned that much when they made that decision.
No.
Coming off of the seasons that Jackson and Vince had, I labeled it a questionable decision when they made it. Not in regard to those players, but like, why not sort of have all three and see where it goes? Right. I mean, they had traded a pick to move up to get Jake Laravia. They had a lot of belief in him, and he had a rough rookie season, but lots of guys have rough rookie seasons, and he'd come on really strong at the end of that season too. It got obscured by the GG Vince stuff, but Jake Laravia also came on strong. So I thought that was a questionable decision when they made it, and it's certainly one that does not look good now.
And Jaron, you look at stocks, he didn't have a block all weekend.
Yeah, and I sort of barely remember. So Friday game, he was good on offense.
He was good offensively.
Like, he got it going offense. And then on Sunday, I thought he had a weird game on Sunday where, I mean, part of it is that all the guys the Grizzlies have out, but then you bring Coward out, and there's a lot of defensive focus on the guys who could actually do stuff because there's that many of them left. But even with that, I thought Jaron was almost in some ways too aggressive in terms of the kinds of shots. He was like trying to just go downhill all the way to the rim, and there was no, instead of having a little bit more patience to like work the defender and get a decent shot, he was just like headlong, I'm just driving and throwing up a shot. To me, his rhythm was way off. So no, he had an underwhelming game for sure.
You've got a column coming up later today. It'll go up later today, presumably.
Yeah, I'm going to try to finish it here shortly.
And when's your last point? When did you last do a pod with Drew? I'm gonna start sending more people over there.
You know, we do. Maybe this will change depending on how the season goes. But we tend to do once a week. I believe we have one that's up. You know, that we recorded late last week. That's up now. We're going to record again, I think, on Wednesday.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Got a nice note. Maybe I'll throw some of these in occasionally. This is just kind of nice. This is from a guy who signs his name Titan, Jeffrey. Jeff spelled correctly, by the way, G-E-O-F-F. He writes, when I was a little kid growing up in Fraser, I was a huge Titans fan. Even though we were pretty bad back then, I always looked forward to your articles every Monday. Some weeks we'd sneak out a lucky win, but even after the losses, you sometimes always found something good to say about my awful Titans. Can you remember, Jeffrey, when I used to say good things about the Titans?
I guess we
did cover them originally.
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we covered them when they were here, and even though I did not support the way that Memphis was treated in that entire deal, covered the games. People were happier when the Titans won than when they lost. Continues, I used to print your articles out and put them on my wall. Reading them actually gave me confidence to read out loud in school. So thank you for that, even if you didn't know me at the time. Fast forward to when I was 24, my coworker started listening to you in the mornings, and that's when I finally learned your name isn't pronounced Geoff. It's just Jeff. I've been a listener ever since, 35 now. I just wanted to say thank you for growing up with me, bro. Much love. I mean, that's the thing. Who gets this? Most people in their jobs, you don't get to be part of people's lives like that. It's nope. It's one of the absolute privileges of in different ways, both my jobs. Like the job that I had, that I've had at the, particularly when I was in the early days at the CA and everybody got the CA back then, so many people said, you know, read you every morning. And that has really changed now. I do appreciate all the people who read the Daily Memphian, which has been a great success story. But let's be honest, no newspaper has the reach of that the CA had and every big major
absolutely
major paper had back then. And so now I get a lot more listen to you every morning. And it totally is a privilege, absolute privilege. I'm the kid who, you know, listened to WGR radio in Buffalo growing up in the same way that, you know, couldn't wait, knew the people on the station. It was one of those, your mom would come in at night and tell you to turn the radio off.
Yep.
Did you have that? Yeah. Mom would come in at night, tell me to turn the
Sabres off.
I used
to listen
off.
To Doug Gottlieb and Jim Valvano.
Right.
Bob
Valvano was good.
I liked the show.
I thought Valvano was really good. But anyway, so yeah. And when I was a kid and I'd go to the Erie County Fair, like I wanted to be a columnist when I grew up. But when I went to the Erie County Fair, there would be radio stations from Memphis, from Buffalo. WKBW was the big rock station, big pop state rock. It was the equivalent of, you know, Danny Nevereth was sort of Ron Olson, you know, back at the time. And to see Danny Nevereth there talking on the radio with my face pressed against the glass watching it.
It's like watching Picasso paint.
And then, yeah, and then they have the chance to grow up and be on the other side of that glass is just unbelievable. Unbelievable good luck. And so so it's funny, like, the way we're doing this, like, we didn't know if I should just disappear one day or announce it the day before. We're having one last week. We're having one last week, so I get to ease out of radio, have one last Monday, one last Tuesday, one last fish on Friday on Tuesday, Sam is going to join us on Wednesday. The way he does. We'll have one last trivia. I'm a little, people are worried about you, Jeffrey, because, you know, you like your W's.
Yeah.
And this is the last Righter Than Right, certainly on this show.
Indeed.
Will you feel additional pressure?
Oh, there's no question. This is, if it's I lose to go out the with last an L, week.
Maybe you can look at it, though, like it's a, it's, yeah, it's just like...
No, it's it will haunt me forever.
So stay tuned to that. Jeffrey haunted forever. One of you lucky people.
I mean, it's will, like the U.S. Remember when USC lost in the Rose Bowl to Vince Young? Like, the lasting image of Leinart and Reggie Bush is just all those guys forever. Losing.
So anyway, yeah, there you go. Okay, we do have more news since we've been talking to Chris Harrington. Pete Carroll officially fired.
Yeah, Jeff, we had mentioned earlier in the show it was leaning that way. The Raiders do make it official. They have fired Pete Carroll. However, the general manager, John Spytek, will remain on in the role.
That's a hard one to know because you just don't know who made those stupid
Correct.
Choices. Right?
Who like, was let's calling be honest, shots?
In retrospect, the Raiders did a dumb thing trying to accelerate their rebuild.
Yep.
Right? They drafted a running back. They brought in a veteran quarterback. They like the Jets took an offensive tackle who's going to be a Pro Bowler for 15 years right after the Raiders took Ashton Jeanty.
Yep.
Right. And so if you're in it for and then the Raiders didn't have anyone to block for Ashton Jeanty.
Correct.
And so if you're doing
or their veteran quarterback who is less mobile,
if you're doing a proper rebuild, you really take the offensive lineman. But if you have a 97-year-old coach who wants to win tomorrow, your personnel decisions reflect the presence of that coach, right? And so in the end, that was a horrible mistake. What they did was a horrible mistake.
They beat the Patriots.
What?
They beat the Patriots.
They did beat the Patriots. That's shocking. That's shocking. So anyway, there's another firing. This is kind of fun. This is kind of fun, all these firings. Again, I am weirdly jealous of the Chiefs. I'm weirdly jealous of the Chiefs. I will say this, though. For all the grief that the Bills take for never getting to the Super Bowl or whatever, Josh, there is one of the teams that is still standing this year. All of these other favorites, with all of their great quarterbacks and their great coaches and their great GMs and everything else, Kansas City's out of here. Ravens are out of here. Minnesota's out of here. Detroit's out of here. The Bengals are out of here. The Bills still standing. They closed down the stadium yesterday, Highmark Stadium.
Man, what a party that was.
What a party that was. If you're going to invite the Jets to a party, if you're going to play Mitch Trubisky, that's the ultimate challenge for the Jets, too. Like, could they really go another game without getting a pick when Mitch Trubisky is the opposing quarterback? And they did it. They did it.
They had one that was
close.
Yeah, like maybe. It was like off the hands. This was obviously a game you probably got to watch a good bit of.
There was no pressure. There was absolutely no pressure.
I had one of my buddies who's a Jets hater's like, it's the worst pass defense ever. And I was like, the Bills ran for like 7 yards a carry in the first half. Like, let's not act like that. Oh, it's just a phenomenal run defense that has problems in coverage. Like, no, whatever you run offensively just works.
Dawson Knox was so open on that first touchdown pass. The James Cook is going to – I didn't see it. Like, listen, I've always been a proponent of signing James Cook, even when a lot of Bills fans were not because I thought he was one of the –
When you're a good team, you need a running back. When you're a good team.
And I also think you have to look at what's good on your team.
Correct.
Like, you have to keep the difference makers on your team.
Yes.
And he is one of the difference makers on that team. Only did two carries yesterday for 15 yards, but it was enough to hang on to the rushing title for James Cook. We also have a new sack champion.
We do indeed.
Garrett got that.
Burrow crown in the same way that Favre once upon a time? Did he crown him?
No. And was Zach Taylor, what was that? He was really irked that they
stopped the game.
They stopped the game. It was ridiculous.
He is the all-time single season.
Oh, it is weird that, don't you feel like this record has gotten more attention than it normally would have? And plus now it's set an extra game. Does that devalue it for you?
I mean,
doesn't devalue it for me.
Not necessarily. Like, my whole thing is we've devalued a lot of awards.
A home run record, like whatever. Like, well, we don't.
Something as simple as field goals. Cam Little yesterday hits another 67-yarder.
Right.
And I'm having to do the math in my head. It's like, wait, is 67 the record? Is 68
Remember
the record?
Remember when Tom Dempsey, it was
63.
It was 63. Tom Dempsey forever.
He didn't have toes.
Right, the guy with the blunt foot.
Yeah.
All right. I do want to talk about I want to talk about the college football playoff and the Ole Miss situation in particular. But just the playoffs generally, what was most shocking to you? Was anything shocking?
I think what actually shocked me is not the fact that Ole Miss beat Georgia. It was how Ole Miss beat Georgia. Like, all the things that went wrong and you probably couldn't have happen, the defensive touchdown.
What a fun game.
But the fact that they basically just controlled the line of scrimmage, like, they ran the ball pretty much whenever they wanted to. And then on defense, I mean, they really, really got after Georgia.
Do you believe, and obviously as a showcase for Trinidad Chambliss, who was magnificent,
he blacked out.
Do you believe that he is now an NFL quarterback?
I still do not believe he's an NFL quarterback. I do think he is just one of those guys that could be just an unbelievable college quarterback, especially if he gets the other year, which I don't know the likelihood, it seems.
You had Indiana smashing Alabama, just dominating them, such that literally even on the telecast, they said, this is embarrassing for Alabama. And, of course, in the wake of this, I'm sure people are wondering if the SEC should get so many teams in. You know, you had another non-competitive game there, 38-3, which was much worse than James Madison showing against Oregon, numerically anyway, right? They didn't lose by 35.
Yeah, they didn't play Indiana.
They lost by 17. They didn't play Indiana. Routes happen. Routes happen. And we note the route and we lament the route more dramatically when it is a G5 team losing than when it's Texas Tech losing to Oregon 23-0 or Alabama losing to Indiana 38-3. Routes can happen. Miami takes care of Ohio State by being the more physical team. Just beat them up.
Yards per rush. You ready? 4.1 to 1.9. They got after Saiyan took a
Saiyan did exactly, and you had mentioned this. Like, what is Saiyan going to be
when
like
he's under pressure?
When he's under pressure,
and he took a bunch of sacks where it's like 2nd and 24. Like, you know, these are really deep sacks. And Beck's numbers are not overwhelming, but man, I thought he was really good because
there was
a lot of third downs, like 3rd and 6. Gotta have it. He also used his legs, I thought, spectacularly. But, I mean, the star of this game is Reuben Bain. I mean, good gosh.
What's funny is that people are skeptical of him as a pro. Not as
size,
a...
size, maybe?
Yeah. Short arms, yeah. Whatever. He's not a classic. He's going to have to be a tackle, you know, whatever. He does not look like you're supposed to look.
Right. He does not look like Myles Garrett. There's
right.
No
he certainly does not look like Myles Garrett. But to Ole Miss...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
First of all, what's the status with the assistants?
So, a little bit unclear. I think the thing that matters the most is they've got to keep their play caller. And by all accounts, Charlie Weiss Jr. is
going to be their play caller.
Going to ride this out.
There were rumors over the weekend of Charlie Weiss Jr. to the Giants. Did you see those?
I saw those. I still don't know how seriously to take that. You're going to hire someone that's never been a college head coach, and you're going
to
hire...
Is that to be the head coach? Was it to be the head coach? You can't. No, you cannot.
I wouldn't think
you
that.
Cannot try to hire him to be the head coach of the Giants. But
I will say this: I think Charlie has been uncomfortable with the manner that this has been handled from the LSU side. And let's be clear: the Lane Kiffin side. And that's what really this is all about. Because in the end, Lane Kiffin really left because he didn't think they were going to win this game. Because he's now
100%.
In a position.
They absolutely did not. Lane did not think they'd be here.
No. No, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and like lie in your face. Like, I took the points.
I didn't either, yeah.
But I did not in my heart of hearts think that Ole Miss was going to win the game.
It's not an irrational thought, but yes, boy, he looks worse and worse. He literally, is he going to get here to this place at LSU?
My gut Depends. Says yes.
Probably, yeah. Probably. He's going to have lots of money. He's a very good coach.
And he's going to put together a good roster. That's the other aspect of this. He did put this team together.
100%.
Receivers are underrated.
Okay, so here's the other question I would ask. Do you think, very clearly across the country, Ole Miss is the story? And I know some people, I get some pushback. Because I tweeted some things out about the game. Whatever, I get some pushback. If you mention Lane now, there's some LSU, some Ole Miss fans who say, let's stop talking about Lane. This is about the players. And to be clear, I think Golden talking about the players,
yep.
Players, it's just brilliant. Every time he does it, he's not saying F you, Lane, but it stands in such dramatic contrast to Lane
yes.
that it's just players. Oh, it's about the players. What's about the players? And the truth of the matter is that you're exactly right. Lane's message to the players was, again, he put the team together, but his message to the players was, we don't think you're good enough to win a national championship.
Yes.
That is what his direct message, unspoken message to the players
yes.
was. And so here the players are, abandoned by their head coach, partially abandoned by some of the whatever. And
offensive
now,
staff, yeah.
And now they're doing what they're doing, looking, honestly, that game was as impressive as any game they played all year.
Oh, it was by far. You can make the argument it was a bigger win than Lane Kiffin had his whole career at Ole Miss.
It was. I mean, I don't think it is an argument. I think it is a bigger one than Lane Kiffin is his whole year. And so I think the whole country, if you don't have a, there's a lot of teams to like here. Like you, I think it's really hard not to like Indiana. Like if you've been downtrodden forever and now you're that, you're Indiana and you're kicking ass.
When you have like Joel Osteen, the quarterback.
Yeah, when you have Joel Osteen as the quarterback, really hard not to like Indiana. Miami, okay. I don't think they're going to be anyone's underdog just because they once were a power and they're from a glamour place and whatever. But still, they've kind of, the head coach is kind of changing the narrative on the head coach.
Jeff, I
watched. The U is back.
I watched a Miami defensive back pick off a pass, cruise into the end zone, and never taunt the other team.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what to do. I was like, this is not my U.
And then Oregon's never won a national championship. I like Dan Lanning. I've always liked Dan Lanning. And they've never won it. Again, so there's a lot of likable teams here, but I don't think anyone's more likable than Ole Miss, given that they were abandoned by their head coach and that he is America's biggest villain right now.
Well,
right?
The other storyline, all four teams are coached by Saban.
All four teams are also Saban assistants. Yeah. So, but then the question I would ask is, and I may write about this, how do Memphians feel about Ole Miss? Because generally speaking, and we used to deal with this when we were at the CA and we covered everybody, is like we covered Ole Miss because we were the paper of the Delta.
Yep.
You know, so a lot of people grew up in Mississippi reading the CA and
the
whatever.
The capital of the Delta, yeah.
And so we had a beat writer. We used to have an Ole Miss beat writer. Yep. And so we would cover Ole Miss and cover Tennessee and but really Tennessee, Ole Miss more than Tennessee, because it's right there. Like it's right
there.
Well,
and for a very long time, Memphis had more Ole Miss alum than anywhere else.
So there's a lot of people here with Ole Miss ties, a lot of people here who went to Ole Miss, a lot of people here who love Ole Miss. And then there's people here who hate Ole Miss.
Sure.
Because, A, you're largely it's because you're a Memphis fan.
Yeah.
And you hate Ole Miss because they're in the SEC and whatever else, and you hate Ole Miss. And it's
the fan base certainly has some things if you want to latch onto that are not exactly savory.
But even then, I guess I would make this argument. Even for Memphis fans who have hated Ole Miss, and again, hate whoever you want to hate. That's the beauty of sports.
Absolutely.
That's one of the fun things.
If you have hate in your heart,
you're
let it
allowed
in.
To hate whoever you want to hate. I hate the Chiefs. I always will. I hate Patrick Mahomes. I hate Travis Kelce. I hate the whole story. So you can hate who you want to hate. But Ole Miss, to me, they're an underdog in a different way than Memphis is an underdog, but they're an underdog. Like, there is no guarantee they will. I do think the world has changed and they can build on this, but they will still be an underdog to repeat this or to keep doing this, whatever. They are an underdog school that has historically been sort of people, other SEC schools kind of rolled their eye.
They were a bottom tier SEC school.
Yeah. They actually have historically been a friend to Memphis.
Playing them, yeah.
Back they played Memphis way into the 60s. Spook and Johnny Vaught were great friends. And so they've been a friend of Memphis. Hell, they used to come and play at Crump Stadium or whatever else. And they still play Memphis in basketball, which Tennessee will not do. I think there's an argument for if you're a Memphian, even if you've had hate in your heart for Ole Miss, to get behind this Ole Miss story. And plus Trinidad Chambliss, my God, just as an individual story.
I do think Kiffin has turned Ole Miss face.
100%. Oh, Ole Miss with Kiffin?
Yes. Lot less likable.
A lot less likable.
But when you, I
still,
think most,
even then, I don't think people hated Lane as much.
I think what people realize is like we all like sports for competition, and when somebody like quits on a team, everyone's just kind of going like, "What are you doing, man? Like, you're quitting on a playoff team because you think you're not going to be able to get to the playoff."
We
like,
know,
like we understand the reasoning.
And
like,
we
it's
know
gonna be,
that everyone ultimately is in it for themselves over the team, whatever. If you shouldn't really have illusions like that, but you like to maybe think that they're not so quite transparently selfish, right? And he quit on a playoff team.
And now, to your point also about,
and
like,
honestly, he didn't conduct himself particularly well on the way out.
No, he kind of spat in your face on the way out. But I do think to your larger Ole Miss point of like, hey, man, you got to like max it out, because Ole Miss was kind of ahead of the curve in how they were building the team, building the roster, how they organized their collectives and whatnot. Well, what's going to happen is the schools that have more money are just going to start copying what you do. And they're going to do it with more money.
Do it with more money.
And so you don't know.
The disadvantages of, yeah, there are, and again, Lane made a calculated decision. Where am I most apt to win going forward? He's not a stupid man.
Right. He thinks he can, if I can do it at Ole Miss, why can't I do it at LSU?
More resources, one way or another, whether it's talent coming up or more money or whatever else, I will have more resources to be able to do this at LSU. And that was based on something.
Yes.
It wasn't based on he liked the color scheme.
No. Even though, you know, he wants a bigger stadium, and that's been another Ole Miss talking point.
Do you believe that if Kalen DeBoer, and I don't know that Michigan would have hired him over winning him anyway, do you think if Kalen DeBoer would leave now, he could? If he could leave now, would he? If he could take that Michigan job? You get destroyed like that? Get destroyed.
The
season, each of the last 2 years, getting destroyed.
To your point, it's an unknowable question, but can we also just from a human perspective, how could he not?
Right, you finally get to the playoff and just get destroyed. But by the way, destroyed in such an unSaban-like way. You build a team that cannot run the ball.
Can't run the ball, but like, I don't know. I guess there's also an Indiana of this. It's like, this is kind of what Indiana's been doing to everybody. Like, the only thing they didn't destroy is, I do think what's interesting, though, is the only team in the first 2 years of the 12-team playoff that's gotten the bye and won is Indiana.
Right. Yeah, that's the other little narrative that came up over here. It was, once again, we see the teams that get the bye come out and lose. Last year it was, well, okay, the byes weren't earned. That was artificial. This year, well, I think you literally had
underdogs,
even,
I think. Yeah.
I'll be honest, even Indiana didn't have any bad moments at that game, but they were at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Like, they come out and they look like a team that's get demolished in the first drive.
They went three and out. And you're like, oh, man, Alabama's going
to be... Yeah, it took a little while to shake the rust.
To me, the play of the game that was revealing, when DeBoer, I think they were up 10-0, and he went for the fourth and one, and you're like, man, there's a lot of game left.
Right.
But he knew this game was on the verge of flipping.
All right. That's it for Monday. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next. Jason and John back live in studio. Today they will be joined by you at 1:25. Jeffrey Wright and Company with Kevin Cerrito today. We will be joined by CJ Hurt during the second hour. David Cobb will be back with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.